Today, a federal appeals court heard arguments in a case that tests the Bush administration's procedures for trying alleged al-Qaeda members for war crimes. The first trial of that kind started last November at the Guantanamo Bay Naval Base in Cuba, but a federal judge ruled that the procedures being used violated U.S. laws, treaties, and the Constitution. So the trials have been on hold. Here's NPR's Nina Totenberg.
Salim Ahmed Hamdan doesn't contest the fact that he was Osama bin Laden's personal driver, but his lawyers contend that he was nothing more than a hired hand with no connection to terrorist plots. Held for 3.5 years at Guantanamo, including 10 months in solitary confinement, he was the first detainee put on trial for war crimes. But his lawyer said the proceeding was a farce. Commander Charles Swift, the lawyer appointed by the military to represent Hamdan, says his client was literally suicidal.
I brought this suit because I had a client who was sitting in solitary confinement, going slowly insane, and every request I made for relief had fallen on deaf ears.
Last November, Swift won an initial court victory, halting the trial. And today, a panel of 3 judges heard the government's appeal. As luck would have it, the 3 were among the appeals court's most conservative members. Judge A. Raymond Randolph, appointed by the first President Bush, Judge Stephen Williams, appointed by President Reagan, and Judge John Roberts, often mentioned as a leading contender for a Supreme Court seat, who was appointed by the current president. Representing the government, Assistant Attorney General Peter Keisler told the judges that it is the president, not the judiciary, who has the legal authority to establish the rules for such trials, and that in order to protect national security, Hamdan and other defendants may be tried on the basis of secret evidence that they never hear, and that their lawyers are forbidden to discuss with them. Similarly, he contended the government was justified in excluding Hamdan from the screening of the military jury selected to hear his case. Never before, said Keisler, has the United States faced such a dangerous enemy. We don't know who they are or where they will strike, and we must protect our intelligence, he said. Although the Geneva Convention calls for an initial determination of whether captured prisoners are lawful or unlawful combatants, Keisler argued that Hamdan is not entitled to such a determination because the president has ruled that the Geneva Convention does not apply to either al-Qaeda or Taliban members. Georgetown law professor Neil Katyal rebutted that argument for Hamdan, contending that for nearly 60 years the American military has taken the position that the Geneva Convention requires individual evaluations and does not allow lump exclusions of groups. Said Katyal, the government says this case is about judicial interference with executive function. What it's really about is executive interference with judicial function. In Hamdan's trial, he said there were no written rules. The procedures could be changed at any time. The defendant was excluded from key portions of the trial. There was no independent judge, just a military jury that included some with connections to the prosecution, a jury that was selected without the defendant allowed to be present. Moreover, said Katyal, under this system, there is no check on the prosecution because the executive branch is prosecutor, judge, and jury. Judge Roberts, but there is a history in the Civil War and World War II of these types of military trials. Answer, these trials are different because in the past there were written rules, specific charges, and the defendant was allowed to hear all the evidence against him. Moreover, Katyal contended, previous military commissions were authorized by Congress. Commander Swift followed Katyal to the lectern. He told the judges that despite the promises proffered by the government today that it would attempt to accommodate defense concerns, every similar suggestion he made at the beginning of the trial had been rejected by the prosecution, and the rules, he maintained, can be changed any time the prosecution wants. Judge Randolph, the International Criminal Court developed rules for the trial of Slobodan Milosevic. Answer, but they were all independent judges, and the defendant was always present. It makes no sense to try someone for violations of international law, and the first thing we do is violate the first canon of international law. Judge Randolph, how do you know it's the first canon? There are other countries that use different rules. Answer, this is not Rwanda. This is not Saudi Arabia. Despite Swift's impassioned plea, the panel seemed skeptical, and the chief prosecutor in the case, who was in the courtroom, said he is ready to resume immediately if the government wins its appeal. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.